Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One can't help but be positive.
Cam Newton!
The other can't help but be negative.
Bleep you, you bleeping bleepity bleep.
The only thing they seem to agree on is that they can barely agree on anything.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm Andy Hart. I'm not happy about this.
It's sports radio for the passionate fan.
What's up, Nick?
And grumpy dad in all of us.
That is just so stupid.
Fitzy and Hart.
Yes, I've been listening, Andy.
On Boston Sports Original.
I like the way Andy Hart does it.
Might have Nick just take over.
WEEI.
They hit 21 threes, and Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Derek White combined for 15 of them. So those guys are good shooters, but they combined for what? 15 for 23. My math right? 8, 7, and 8. Yeah, that's 23, right? Yeah. 15 for 23 from those guys. Yeah, you know, so be fine.
Say it with me, Andy Hart. Say it with me, everyone listening right now. Here we go. Draymond was right.
Nope.
Draymond was right. Come on, Andy. You know he was right. Ultimately, that's what came to bear. It's what most of the national analysts, prognosticators, and basketball experts said. Warriors in six. As we chanted Celtics in seven, we wanted to believe it in our hearts. But in the back ends and the annals of our sports mind, we knew better. It was Warriors in six. And we will continue to unpack, break down, and give you forum, respite, and therapy couch for the disappointed who bled green all season long, only to be left high and dry Thursday night at the TD Garden. Hello, everybody. This is your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, alongside Andy Jumbo Hart. This is the Fitzy and Hart program for Saturday, June, carry the three overnight, 18th, 2022. I am coming to you today from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio. We are brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and Ford trucks, the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. If you would like to get in touch with us at any point during the program, give a shout. Holla, it's just 10 numbers, 617-779-7937. The text line is manned by the true MVP, the hero of WEEI, producer Nick LaPan, who's on his 17th straight shift. My gosh, are you running a personal Jimmy Fun telethon back there? That's 37937. And of course, the socials at Jumbo Hart and at Fitzy GFY. On today's program, we will be joined by my pal, Celtics beat writer and analyst extraordinaire, John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal at 2 o'clock. And the lines are open. I heard you guys all morning long on the Ken and Curtis program from the U.S. Open, from the country club over there. It sounded wonderful, very distinguished. I heard Curtis treated himself to some beluga caviar earlier, and Ken enjoyed some foie gras torchon sliders, Andy. So that was really something special.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like my kind of potty.
Come on, but I mean,
no wonder I wasn't invited.
Exactly. Like, is there pastrami? Is there ham? Is there a hot dog? Nope.
Bacon, egg, and cheese with a Miller Lite.
I know. What does anyone know what the cost is? Producer Coop is here with me in the Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio. What do you think the average, like, a hot dog and a beer, or like a burger and a beer, is running the golf patron, the gallery over there at the U.S. Open?
$38.
Anyone know?
Burger and a beer? I'm saying $30.
Like, wasn't there a whole big to-do at a recent golf tourney when Darren Revelle tweeted out a picture of, like, one of those aluminum bottles of Mick Ultra, and it was, like, $19?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's common. Revelle does it. Ben Volen has done it at some of the various stops. I think he was down in Augusta, and he was putting out the prices. I don't know if you heard, Fitzy. Things are expensive these days, especially at professional sporting events.
Oh, yeah. You know what I did the other day? Producer Coop running in right now with a little call. Here we go. We got a menu update. Oh, a KM all beef hot dog, only $7. You can get a turkey and arugula sandwich winning combo for $9.50. Andy, your favorite, a Mediterranean vegetable sandwich on ciabatta for $9.50. Caesar salad's only $9. Soft pretzel, $5.50. These are prices for the people. This is what I'm talking. Good job, guys. Banana is $2. Okay. Nuts
that's random.
Are $5. It's very random. Candy is $4. I can't even go to the movies and get snacks this cheap. Good job, Country Club, over at the U.S. Open. Fantastic. Of course, Tom Brady wasn't good enough to join, but a banana will only cost you $2. So good to see they've come back.
They
to the
sniffed the traitor
there.
Out. Glad they didn't let him in. They knew what he was deep down, and that's why they kept him out.
All right, Andy, let's just get right down to it. Enough playing slap and pickle over here. Let's just get right down to it. We've been avoiding what everyone has been talking about for the past almost 40, probably like 30 some odd hours here in the city, nationally as well. The Celtics failing to achieve their goal to reach the peak, to hang banner 18. The way that they stumbled as they at least caught vision, a glimpse of the glowing light at the end of the tunnel, the finish line, what it would look like to be champions again. They could smell the parade. They started to think, like, what's it going to be like to see, like, the champagne buckets being wheeled back towards the locker room? Oh, I've heard of these duck boat parades. And as you turn onto Mass Ave, you can just hear this wall of sound envelop you. Like, at 2-1 and with a lead in the third quarter of game four, just 8 days ago, Friday night at the Garden. I still blame myself for going. I apologize, New England. They must have been thinking it and feeling it. And then when Golden State fought back, Golden State continued to fight back. Golden State shot. Golden State defended. Golden State hustled. The Celtics got flat-footed. The Celtics panicked. The Celtics worried. And the spirit was literally taken out of Jason Tatum, taken out of the team. They had no chance, even with a 35-21 third quarter, to get them back in the game in game five, only to have Jordan Poole's ridiculous 40-footer bank in for three and give the Warriors the 75-74 lead going into the fourth quarter. I just knew they didn't have a chance then, and by the time they lost game five, they were toast. And I'll tell you, Andy, what tells me, what confirms to me that it was not injury-laden, that it was not injury-based, that we can't blame physical injuries or maladies on Jason Tatum's less than terrible performance, because it was just damn near god-awful during these finals, but that's okay, is when the Celtics were up 9-2 at the start of Game 6, Tatum got the ball from Jaylen Brown, who had previously hit a three, and from, I'd say, about 28, 29 feet out, perfect form, dropped it in, boom, 12-2, the roof was about to blow off the Garden, and he stood there and posed. If you know, like when you posterize someone on a dunk and then you stand over him and you flex, like that's one thing. But Tatum stood there as if to let them know, like, this is our night. We're here. You're not going, like, we're going one place, and that's back to Golden State. And you know what Golden State did again? They turned up the defense. They shot the lights out.
Scored a lot of points.
They scored a lot of points. The Celtics
panicked. Is that the start of the 21-0 run?
Ugh, the bench absolutely blew from Boston to Baltimore. It was just as it was wash, rinse, repeat all over again. And then the Celtics lost. And Golden State, they had the heart of the champion. They defended. Props to Golden State's defense. But let's talk Tatum for a second. It was not injuries. He's just, the biggest thing to me, Andy, he was tired. He was just flat out.
Oh, baby,
I know,
tired?
I know.
Did he not get his nap?
Apparently he must have missed his afternoon power nap with Deuce. I don't know.
Weird.
No, dude, they played 24 games. Okay, Golden State played 21. That's fine. It's right. Not even the game.
Their star is 34. He didn't look tired.
I know. Jason Tatum just physically and emotionally wasn't ready. And they thought when they led in the first round with a hook, when they thought that they dropped the haymaker in the first round and Golden State fought back, the Celtics didn't have the fortitude. The Celtics were not mentally prepared. Golden State knew how to do it. Your Boston Celtics did not. Just plain and simple, they weren't ready, Andy.
No question. And Tatum wasn't ready. And that's, to me, the takeaway. The factual analysis is accurate. Draymond Green was right. The wheel of complimentary players that the Celtics had been spinning throughout the postseason, Ime Udoka getting big games from Horford and Williams and Pritchard, it came fell off the wall. He went to spin it, and it just fell apart, fell off the wall. Those guys were nothing, but I still think you start the analysis with the simple one, right? Keep it simple, stupid. Sometimes the obvious answer is the right answer. You can't have Jason Tatum play the way he did in that finals and win a title. And I know the Greg Hill Show ran a poll. Can the Celtics win a title with Jason Tatum as their best player? Absolutely. 100%. Can they win a title with Jason Tatum playing the way he played in this series? Absolutely not. No chance, unless you play an absolutely horrible basketball team. And that's the reality. Whether injury, not injury, that whole debate, you know, Nick Fryer's assertion that, you know, I know the report is that he's not going to have any procedures or anything, so he wasn't quote-unquote injured.
There's no rotator cuff, no labrum, something or other where it's like...
He might have a boo-boo, but he's not going under the knife. So the reality is your star was not a superstar. Their Hall of Fame superstar was. He showed up, he carried his team to the title, and I come back to this weird world that Jason Tatum seems to live in with some people. It's like when they're rolling, he's all NBA, the Celtics are his team, he's the greatest player in the league, and when he stinks and they lose, it's, well, those complimentary players didn't do enough. No, can't have it both ways. You want to be the star, you want to be the straw. Well, when the straw falls apart like those environmentally friendly cardboard ones, well, then I'm going to blame the damn straw. It's nobody else's fault. So I think you start this with Jason Tatum before you start pointing to, of course, Grant Williams was a non-factor. Peyton Pritchard, nothing. Grant, like, that's the reality, but you start with Tatum.
You absolutely have to start with Tatum. And here's the thing. There's been this building narrative for years. Tatum isn't it. Tatum doesn't have it. Tatum isn't a killer. Tatum can't get it done because they saw Jim, they saw him get punked by Bam Adebayo. Excuse me. They saw him get punked in the Miami series. They've watched him sort of like put up 50 points even and never look that emotional, not have the fire. You know, they want Brady running down the field, pumping his fist before a game, screaming, "Let's go!" You know, they want David Ortiz getting so angry that he uses a bat to smash a phone in. They want people flipping, you know, you got that one night. Of course, it was Marcus Smart flipping tables during the Brad Stevens pizza party during the bubble a couple of years ago. But you haven't seen that something that Boston fans can align in. You know, they haven't seen, you know, Jason Tatum slide into second to help beat the Yankees and start the epic comeback like Dave Roberts get up, clap and scream because he knew he did something special. That's not his demeanor. You're just not probably ever going to see that. Sure, he's pumped his fist and he's flexed a few times. Yeah, he's screamed out loud and made it seem like this is the biggest moment or the biggest deal in his life. But that's just not his demeanor. Still, if he was able to solve the double teams, if he was able to drive the lane, if he was able to either fight off the phenomenal defensive fronts that Golden State kept throwing at him, or if he was able to do what he did in that first game. And what is that when he had 13 dishes? I think he had 13 assists in game one, right? So it turns out that actually was maybe his greatest contribution. That was the way he was going to have to play because as far as like an alpha scorer, as far as the offensive front, he just didn't have it. He had no answer for what Golden State did. And as the series wore on and Golden State, their defense, a cephalopod wrapping around him, just tightening and tightening and like the boa constrictor grip of the pressure and all the eyes on him and knowing what the stakes were and the coach trying to figure out different ways to get him going and nothing happening, he just went to sleep. How else to explain Andy Hart, an NBA first team all-pro player, having 13 points at home in an elimination game? It's unthinkable.
And that's where I get back to, it's like we do talk a lot about the personality and the killer instinct and all of that. I don't really care. I don't really care if he's flexing, if he's yelling, any of that. You know what I care about? You can't have 13 points, especially if you're going to have 5 turnovers. You can't go 6 of 18 shooting, 1 of 4 from 3. Like, the bottom line is the scoreboard. I forget the personality and the leadership and the alpha and the betas and all of these things. He needs to score. He is the centerpiece of the offense. He needs to score. And it's not the end of the world. You know, Scott McLaughlin wrote a column, just because Tatum didn't get it done doesn't mean he won't get it done.
Correct.
Could not agree,
I agree with that
100%.
More. Like, oh,
that's
absolutely
obvious. That is the reality of a lot of NBA success stories over the years, going back decades. Like, you have to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Then you have to get to, like, it's a process. It's a failure. Get over the top, learn what it takes, get the right teammates around you. Even Ime talked about that, both as a team needing to take it to the next level, but Jason Tatum needing to take it to the next level, needing to know how to deal with defenses and think different things that are thrown at him. And when you're, you know, needing to be the offensive guy, needing to be the pass guy, like dealing with everything, there's an experience factor, not championship level experience, not like, oh, they've been to the finals four, just part of the process evolving as the centerpiece player. But anybody that wants to do anything but point at Tatum, to me, you're missing the mark. Like, it is about Tatum. No one's saying we hate Tatum. Move on from Tatum. Trade Tatum. Well, we actually did take calls last week, right, that said trade Tatum. But forget those.
We took one, but we mocked it, actually, and played it as our worst. And we'll do best worst, the best and worst calls of the day at 3:45.
But no one is saying, very few people are saying trade Tatum. It's just disappointment. You know, you thought maybe he'd turned a corner in the spring, coming down the home stretch, the way he played, the way they played. And then it kind of hit that, you know, when Belichick talks about this, when the season ends, it's like the treadmill stops, right? You're running like 7-8 miles an hour, and boom, the treadmill stops, and you just run right into that bar in front of you. That's what happened to the Celtics. That's what happened to Tatum. Now it's regroup, figure it out. But I don't want to hear, oh, you're tired. Screw the tired. Everybody's tired. They played a long season. All the stars on the other team are older. Did they look tired? Did they? No. I saw
Andrew Wiggins sure as hell didn't look tired. I watched somebody.
He's not that old. I was talking about Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson.
Klay Thompson.
Who
right.
are held
but
together
Andrew Wiggins
at various
was a massive
by duct tape and Toradol, did not look tired.
No, they did not. But Andrew
so we're
Wiggins.
Say Jason Tatum was tired? Well, he played too much basketball? Here. That's his damn job.
No, man. Jason Tatum had his lunch routinely taken from him and eaten in front of his face by Andrew Wiggins, which was just jaw-dropping to me. It was unconscionable. I couldn't even believe it. But, Andy, you just hit on the point that I want to revisit when we come back after we trend and pay the bills. 617-779-7937. If you would like to call in, talk Jason Tatum, offer your thoughts and ideas as to why the Celtics faltered down the stretch, ran out of gas, and eventually got blown off the court on their own home floor, losing in six to the Warriors. I think you really hit on it right there, Andy. Yes, Jason Tatum needs to be mentioned. Yes, Jason Tatum needs to shoulder a lot of the blame, but that doesn't mean you want him shipped out of town. That doesn't mean he doesn't have it, and that doesn't mean that he can't get it done. We'll continue to hit that and everything else you guys want to talk about today. Your old pals Fitzy and Hart coming to you today from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studio at beautiful Fenway Park in anticipation of Sox Cardinals tonight. First, we trend.
Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
Weekdays, 2 to 6.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com is brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to Cars for Kids, that's carswithak.com, or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Your Boston Red Sox hung on to beat the Cardinals 6-5 last night at Fenway Park. The Cardinals scored four runs in the top of the ninth, but Tanner Houck did close it out just in time for his third save on the season. Whew. The Sox and Cardinals play the second game of their three-game set tonight. Cutter Crawford, excellent in his last spot start, gets the start opposite Dakota Hudson. Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming have the call tonight from Fenway with the first pitch at 7:15 across the Shaws and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Network. And hey, while you're there, be sure to tune in to the Visit Massachusetts pregame show with our guy Brian Barrett at 6:15. It's sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. Start your Massachusetts summer adventure at visitma.com. Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Avalanche and the Lightning is tonight with puck drop at 8. The Avs hold a 1-0 lead after a thrilling 4-3 overtime win in the first game of the series. And according to Fluto Shinzawa of The Athletic, the two favorites for the Bruins head coaching vacancy are ex-Rangers coach David Quinn, also a former BU head coach, and current Kraken assistant Jay Leach. And now, live coverage from the U.S. Open all weekend long, and it's brought to you by our pal, Rob Bradford.
Oh, Rev. My goodness, Fitzy. It is live coverage from the U.S. Open, the 22nd U.S. Open Championship at the Country Club here in Brookline. Colin Morikawa and Joel Damon, both atop the leaderboard, Fitzy, at 5-under. Five guys, Hayden Buckley, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Aaron Wise, Bo Hostler, all 4-under. They're in second place. Morikawa and Damon, they'll be teeing off at 3:45. So a lot going on here. And you know what? It's all sponsored by Meiomi, the official wine of the PGA Tour, and Zingaroo. Zingaroo allows you to trade, chat, and compete with friends all in one app. Join now and get started with $25 on us with Fitzy. I'll give you another update in about an hour. A lot going on over here.
Well done, Bradfoe. You're talking socks and talking golf. You are in your sweet spot today. Thanks so much, Bradfoe. That is what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, we're right back to it. Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, learn and understand who he is in this league. You know, you're all-star, all-NBA, first-team guy for a reason, and this is only a start of how you're going to be guarded and the attention you're going to draw. And so one thing that he's always done throughout the season was seen multiple different coverages and figured it out, and he did that throughout the first few series, and this one was a rough one. Very consistent team that did some things to limit him and make others pay, and so from him, it's just continue to grow and understand that you're going to see this rest of your career. This is just a start, but the growth he showed as a playmaker this year and in certain areas, I think this is the next step for him, figuring that out and, you know, getting to where some of the veterans are that have seen everything and took their lumps early in their careers. And like I said, very motivated guy that works extremely hard and high IQ, intelligent guy that will learn from this and figure it out. And I think it will propel him to go forward, definitely motivate him.
Boston Celtics first year coach Ime Udoka talking after the Game 6 and NBA Finals loss to the Golden State Warriors about his star, the star of the team, the leader of that team, Jason Tatum. This is Fitzy and Hart coming to you from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio across the WEEI, WEEI.com, Odyssey Radio Network. Andy, I hope everybody was listening. I hope everyone paid clear attention to what Udoka was saying right there, because that's what being a leader, that's what being a coach, that's what being a motivator and someone who has to take the broken pieces of their stars after they've failed, after they've faltered, after they haven't reached their goals, and pick them up and build them up again and help them put themselves back together and reach new heights and levels. Sure, we can sit here right now and play the, LeBron was only 27 when he finally won, and, you know, Dwayne Wade was this age, Michael Jordan was that age. Okay, fine. A lot of them actually didn't ever get to the NBA Finals before that age. This is a loss, a big old L that Jason Tatum got hung on him. But with somebody like Udoka behind him, with Udoka in his ear, with people like Al Horford there and Jaylen Brown, the way they played this year, once they finally put it together. Yes, they looked way more like the Celtics of November and December in those final three games than the Celtics of mid-January all the way to early June. I understand that, but I have all the faith in the world that they're going to be able to put the pieces back together, and Jason Tatum can fail in this next stage, if you will. He has shed the booster rockets, as I like to say sometimes, and now he's getting into orbit. Next stage, next stop is going to be something spectacular. It just turns out in his development and story, he had to fail before he could ultimately succeed.
And it's a common narrative in the NBA, in the history of the NBA. Teams and players with their leaders needing to get over the hump, like have a nemesis or have challenges in their conference. Oh, can't get past this team, can't get past that team. It's happened many times. It's like you need to prove yourself to be a champion, prove yourself worthy. I think it's far less common that you just go on some great run and you're 24 and you just win the title and the world is your oyster and you're just going to go be a dynasty for the next decade. This is how it works. You know, anything worth doing is worth doing the hard way. And I concur with Ime's faith in Tatum to be better moving forward. Like this idea that you've seen the best of Tatum that's what would sort of annoy me, even though I'm not a Tatum lover. I've never been sort of part of the Tatum promotional fan club that is totally taken
Would
hold.
You be a Bobo or a Stan? I'm not sure. What's what are we saying these days?
I think Stan is the...
Stan?
Yeah. But I don't think I'm a Stan. I don't think I'm a Bobo. I think I'm a realist. Like, I accepted that he took his game to the next level. Like, I had always been sort of in that world of, are we sure he's the future? Are we sure he's that much better than Jaylen Brown? Are we sure he's the centerpiece? This is his team? I've accepted that fact. This is his team. He is the centerpiece. That doesn't mean, you know, other guys can't step up and be key cogs. We're living in the era of duos and trios and, you know, dream teams and these various super teams. So I still think Jaylen Brown can also be a huge positive force for this team, but it is Jason Tatum's team. Anybody that isn't allowing for that fact, or the one outlier that wants to trade him away, to me, you're starting over. If you trade Jason Tatum away, and I know I'm probably giving more credence to this than it even warrants, but you're starting over. You've pulled the plug. This team should be the team, or among the teams to beat. I was listening to Michael Wilbon on SportsCenter this morning. Yeah, the Celtics are one of the teams to beat in the East. Now, the Milwaukee Bucks will always be a team to beat in the mm-hmm. East, right?
Especially when they get Middleton back. And the Celtics did have their path cleared, or at least made as easy as possible. They were facilitated the option to be able to get to the finals thanks to the Heat being dinged up and thanks to Chris Middleton not being there. But they got there, and this has to be a teachable moment and a learning lesson. You got a couple of sports radio hosts who also double as, you know, Patriots, media people, and Little League coaches. And what's the one thing we have to always tell these kids, Andy, whenever they think that they have something in hand? Yeah, pull your pants. Stop eating your boogers. Don't talk to your mother when you're bad. Yeah, why?
You need to
turn
your
hat
around.
Get off your phone.
Right.
But we also tell them that we fail for a reason. You know, people say failure is not an option here. Fear does not exist in this dojo. Like, no, failure is not the option you choose. Someone else, unfortunately, chooses it by beating you, and then it is chosen for you. But the only way that you can turn it around and make something great of it is to learn from how you failed. Learn from why you failed. And Jason Tatum is going to have to do a lot of soul searching over the next couple of weeks as he begins, probably takes some time off, and then begins training and trying to better himself. Like you said, we have seen him get better in stages. It went from, what is this guy talking about? He hasn't even shot a basket during the pandemic in early to mid-2020, to, wow, Jason Tatum showing up with a grown-ass man's body, putting on muscle and elevating his game to the next level. Now we'll see him take not just his physical game, but the whole approach to trying to defeat a better team that was smarter than him during the finals when he takes back to the court. Andy, it's at 617-779-7937. Let's take a couple calls. One of my favorite Celtics callers here on the station, Kelly, is in Amherst. What's up, Kelly? It's Fitzy and Hart here.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I want to defend Tatum a little bit. I understand what Hart was saying a minute ago about the people who make excuses for Tatum. Those people definitely exist. But I think we've heard plenty from the other side of the aisle as well. I've heard a lot of trash talk. I didn't hear the call about trade Tatum. But I just want to point out, you were mentioning a second ago, you said, oh, maybe game one was his best game. No, no question game three was his best game. Not to take away from whatever he did in game one. I believe you on that. But I've been taking some notes as this thing goes by, and it looks like this. In game three, that was the game where Jaylen Brown opens up with 17 first quarter points. So in the middle of the second quarter, Tatum has a stretch where he hits a three, then he hits Smart with an alley-oop, then he hits another three, and then he goes directly to the hoop for two. So all seven of those points right there were all, you know, I'm sorry, all nine of those points were all put up by Jason Tatum. But then it keeps going, and you're looking at in the end of the third quarter, you have a point, and I'll just read real quick here. It says, Smart triples up to make it 83-86. Tatum gets a score and a couple free throws. It's a four-point Boston lead going into the fourth. So then Tatum keeps grinding. It opens up with him making two free throws. The next points are also set up by JT. Smart gets a three-pointer. Now it's 98-89 Celtics. The next points are Tatum again. He drops a long two to make it 191. And then after a Grant Williams putback, it's Tatum again getting in the paint for another early fourth-quarter score, giving him 24 points for the night, putting the Celtics up 10 with only 8 minutes left to play. That game specifically is the future of what these Celtics can be. I appreciate what Hart is saying about it's Tatum's team, it's not Brown's team. I don't see why it can't be both guys' team. But, you know, final thought real quick on Tatum and Brown and the whole thing here. People got to appreciate. You can't compare because of the way they're defending Tatum. Tatum is getting these ferocious double and even triple teams sometimes. And for whatever reason, Jaylen Brown is not commanding that kind of respect. if they start doubling JB the way they're doubling JT, then we can compare. But for right now, you know, it's both these guys' team, and they both look great. Go Celtics.
All right, Kelly, thanks very much. Appreciate the stats, the take, the passion, and the opinion. Please have all of those ready and then some when you call 617-779-7937. See, that's the thing. Golden State, that's why I played that Draymond Green sound to start the show, Andy. And if you missed it, well, you missed it, but you heard it. It was after game one when Draymond Green, everyone knows it. It's been played a million times. I just thought it was relevant to what we were talking about today in the grander point of the series. After game one, when Draymond Green said, yeah, Peyton Pritchard, Grant Williams, and old man Al Horford going 15 for 23 from three. Okay, yeah, they're good shooters, but all right, we'll be all right. And he was right. Like,
right, but he shouldn't
basically have been. Golden State's game plan was, Jason Tatum, we are going to blanket you. We're going to push you around. We're going to double and triple you, just like Kelly from Himmer said a minute ago. We are going to dare everybody else on the Celtics to beat us. Spoiler alert. They just weren't able to. And
but he should not have been right. The Celtics got him.
I know they shouldn't have been right, but they were.
No. But he wasn't really right. I can remember defending the Celtics because the reason the Celtics are in the finals is because a portion of that group of complimentary players stepped up throughout the postseason. They would be stars if they did it every night. They don't. They do it every other game, every third game. The problem is the well ran dry. And that's where I thought it was borderline disrespectful for Draymond Green to say that group sucked, basically. He didn't say it. He pussyfooted through it. But he was saying they sucked. They're not going to beat us. And they beat Miami. They beat Milwaukee. They didn't show up for the finals. Now, that's where I agree some of it is not on Tatum. Like, this is team basketball. Yes, you shorten your rotation and you're only playing seven guys, maybe eight guys in the postseason. But they had gotten significant contributions from that group along the way. And the bottom absolutely fell out of that group. Meanwhile, Tatum was also having his struggles. Combine it, six games, you go home from the Warriors Invitational, as Draymond likes to call it.
On line four, Nick, give me William in Hyde Park because he wants to talk about exactly what Kelly from Amherst and we were talking about earlier, saying it was an absolute no-go. William, make your point on this one.
Yeah, Kelly talked about Tatum being doubled and triple team. No, Tatum never saw a one-on-four he didn't like. He always drives into traffic, and then he turns the ball over, or he tries to dish off on a pass. His decision on the floor is not it's not good. Will he mature out of that? I don't know. But consistently throughout the year, he's done that. I think that Udoka was a great coach. I appreciate his public stance to support Tatum and to build his confidence. But he's not the guy. I mean, Jason Tatum's the only guy in the NBA who every time he gets a foul, he's shocked, and then he cries about it. They should get him a binky. I mean, he's just not mature enough to be the leader, and that's my issue with him. He is definitely a skilled and talented ball player, but I think in terms of his character, it's just not there, and the leadership skills aren't there. He's a good two. He's a great scorer. I won't take anything away from his game, but when it comes down to being the heart and soul of a team, who's going to do it? I mean, look, Al Horford's in the afternoon of his career. Smart's in the afternoon of his career. Has Jason Tatum displayed any of that over the course of the season? I haven't seen it, guys. So
you just wait. Time out. I want to actually, because I'll let you finish. But you just said he's not mature enough. Are you born
correct.
Mature or do you mature?
No. Well, let me say it differently then. I don't think that he has the character traits to be a leader, period. And not everybody is a leader. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have it. I don't think that you can teach those skills. I think it's an innate DNA trait that's within you. And Tatum doesn't display that to me. I think Jaylen Brown's displayed some leadership traits over the course of the year. I think that his demeanor over the course of the series when they've lost, he's been more balanced. But Tatum just seems to be too situational to me, too manic to me. I think he's a very talented player. Honestly, I think they should trade him and build another. And I don't have the answers, but I do think they could probably get some decent ball players going forward. I don't think that he has the right stuff to lead this team into the future. And with Horford and Smart, you know, where are they going to be in 2 years? I don't know where we stand. So I'll hang up.
All right,
and
William.
To what you guys
thank
have.
You, buddy.
Thanks for the
we
call.
Appreciate the call. Thanks so much, pal.
So we have our first
Al Horford.
Tatum
Al Horford
call
in
the day.
Afternoon of his career. I think it's happy hour for Al Horford, or if it's not, it's supper time, and he's considering the dessert course.
Yeah, but I don't
Marcus
care about
Smart in the afternoon
hung over right now. So
I don't care about that. I want to fixate on, we have another call to trade Tatum, and he said, I think you'll get some good ball players for him. I think you could get some good ball players for him, too, because I think most teams in the NBA would be happy to field a call if you're offering Jason Tatum.
Are you kidding? If Office Max manager Brad got on the phone and said Tatum is available, how many teams do you think would line up immediately with talent reset packages?
I think
that
all
would certainly give. I think literally, you can't tell me how many teams. Teams, Phoenix, you want him? It'll cost you Eaton, some picks, and someone else. Utah, you want him? It's going to cost Spider Mitch and another player and a couple of picks. Just the teams.
Everybody.
The
New York, no, I literally the Knicks, think. Every
literally.
Team
how about
would,
Miami?
Would
hey, go play with Jimmy Butler. You don't have to worry about Bradley Beal, your buddy, going down there. Why don't you go down there? Why don't you pull a LeBron? Why don't you pull a KD? Find the superstar that beat you, align with them, and then go win a title there. I don't think Tatum wants that, and I don't think that that's going to happen. That you, if you want to own a trade Tatum take, that is fine. If that is your opinion, that's fine by me. I just happen to think it's wrong. I think Andy does as well. That is not the answer for the Celtics. I think Andy and I do have a couple of answers and or plans for how we can fix the Celtics or what the Celtics will need to do next year. Maybe not to reload, but to adjust and tinker a little bit to try to get back to where they were or at least make another run in the playoff. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Will, Matt, Wayne, Joe, don't you go anywhere. We're going to take your calls when we come back. And at 2 o'clock, John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal joins Fitzy and Hart here on WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WEEI. We are right back to Fitzy and Hart.
Streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
A song from Andy Hart's favorite band, who he has seen every time they have played at Fenway Park, the New Kids on the Block. This is Fitzy and Hart coming to you live from the WEEI Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studio. Talking Celtics with you, Jason Tatum. The unfortunately very sore subject at the heart of the matter, that matter being the Red Sox, the Celtics. I mean, I'm surrounded by everything Red Sox. Producer Coop and I are both wearing the exact same T-shirt. We came in today twinning, by the way, Andy. We're both wearing the Swing Juice Baseball Isn't Boring shirt. So
suck ups.
What do you mean? Hey, Bradfo, guess what I wore today to Fenway? The T-shirt you gave me.
Well, maybe I'm friends with the owner of the company, and
wipe
I would like to get his business. Maybe I'd like to get his
it's
business
so far
over
up
here.
The boss's
what
butt,
sponsor have
mouth.
You brought us? Oh, hey, Andy Hart's bringing you shortandangry.biz to the
I just
table.
Try to do
Stop
good
it.
Radio.
All right. I'm just trying to host
the program.
If we
focus more on that, we'd be doing better.
Oh, we actually happen to be doing terribly well on Saturdays, but I don't want to let
true.
That cat out of the bag.
So we're going to trade Tatum. That's how we're going to do better.
No, we're not
no,
trading
No, that's what
Tatum.
The last caller
I
said.
Refuse.
We are a show of the people, and the people want Tatum, or the person wants Tatum traded.
All right, let's see what Matt in Rhode Island wants. Matt, good to hear from you. What's going on?
Do you want to trade Tatum?
50 hard. I love this show. Listen, we're in New England, so we want championships, but winning championships is hard. You know, the Patriots won their first three before they lost, right, in our dynasty. So, you know, is this team going to be able to buckle up, figure out what they need to do, both, you know, players that they need to add and just, you know, what they need to do to get over that hump? You know, it was a hard loss, and, you know, Tatum does deserve a criticism. But, you know, not to go off the deep end on Tatum, like, I think that's a little absurd. You know, are they going to be more like the 2003 Red Sox after suffering a tough defeat and have that wherewithal to – you know, figure out how to win one, because I do think they can do that. Just let me shift gears, because I know after all this Celtic talk, you guys are going to want to talk some Patriots. and Hart, you're on site. But, you know, I think with the offensive side of the ball with the coaches, it's obviously kind of weird. But I have faith in Mac Jones that, you know, he's not an elite quarterback in the league yet this year,
yes,
as far as physical. But his preparation, I believe, and his competitiveness is going to be able to will this team. I think he takes his fate into his own hands with this coaching situation. And, you know, I have a lot of faith in this kid going forward. Thanks.
I'm so very happy that you snuck that in there, Matt. I'm here for it. I'm present for it. I've been saying both on the radio station as well as on the Six Rings pod, which Andy, Chris Scheim, and I do twice a week, available now at WEEI.com, Spotify, Apple Pods, and wherever you get your podcasts, that Mac Jones' season is upon us and that he's going to have a big, bad season that is going to make him both a hero regionally and much better than this 18th to 20th best quarterback that people continually seem to rank him at on a national level. But we'll get to that in the 3 o'clock hour when Andy and I get our Patriots on. In the interim, though, we're keeping on with the Celtics and talking Tatum. What are you going to get for him? I know things that I want to see the Celtics get to be able to round out this team better so as to take a little pressure off Tatum when you need to. Let's remember also John Paxson, I believe, and Steve Kerr were people that hit game-winning shots in Chicago Bulls NBA Finals championship-winning series. So you don't always have to be the man. Of course, everyone remembers Michael Jordan's final shot for the Bulls over Brian Russell against Utah back in 1998. But he didn't always take the final shot. You don't have to. Sometimes you need a big shot Bob Horry on your team. As far as, you know, learning from the mistake.
How many times did he score 13 in a must-win game?
Michael Jordan? Probably less than zero.
I'm just assuming.
Fewer than none. Never.
We could do the research and maybe somebody will slap us around and say, idiot, Jordan had 15 or fewer points in X number of playoffs. I'm dubious. I'm not like that caller was very, you know, I called him on the mature thing because I do think people mature. That's a reason it's called maturing. You're not born with that. Now, I do also agree there is something, leaders are born. Like there are natural born leaders. To some degree, like Matthew Slater was born with certain traits and then growing up with Jackie and then everything that went into it. I think there's a leader there. I think Tom Brady's a leader and he arrived in New England a leader. Belichick talks it all the time. He was the leader of that rookie class. It was obvious from the second they stepped foot in Foxborough. But does that mean that Tatum can't get better in that area? Just like we're going to expect him to finish better and do a better job passing and, you know, shoot better, all these physical things that you mature and improve upon as you develop as a pro, you can't develop your leadership skills?
Yeah,
I think you can.
It has to be a process. You can't just arrive. You can't just arrive like pre-finished, pre-packaged. Like you can
like
have
Jimmy
all
Butler's
the skills.
Jimmy Butler's a great leader, right?
But he's developed that over time.
Yeah, being an a-hole in like six different cities that ran him out of town.
Yeah, because they couldn't stand him. They couldn't
That's
handle
my
him.
Point.
And finally, he landed in the perfect
now
spot
he's the
with
bulldog.
The right coach.
He wills the team to the Eastern Conference Finals and this and that. Like
a coach who wanted to know if he wanted to fight him this year.
Yeah. So I just this idea that these intangible aspects of basketball and team sports that they can't be honed. And
right.
I would also argue we all seem to have a lot of faith in Ime Udoka, correct? First
yes,
year coach, right? Don't you think he could be a positive impact on Jason Tatum's development as a leader?
One would think.
So this idea of like he's peaked, we're screwed, can't lead, flawed in his DNA, that seems a bit extreme to me.
Got time for one more call before we catch a break, and then John Corrales from Boston Sports Journal joins us at 2. Line 1, Nick, give me Will out in Everett, wants to talk a little Jason Tatum. Will, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Listen,
doing
I just
well
wanted
today.
To say real quick, like, good, happy to hear it. This talk about trading Tatum is absolute insanity. I think you're working with E over I instead of I over E, intellect over emotion. Emotionally, everyone saw the series. We saw how bad he was at times, and it's disappointing. But intellectually, the kid's barely hitting his prime. I don't even think he's in his prime yet.
No, probably not.
I don't think so. He's 24. The body and the brain haven't finished developing. He's not old enough to rent a car. Like, he's not done yet. He just took his next step. But in Boston, where we are suffering from a duck boat deficit, it's been 3.5 years. Oh, the strength of the people. How do you do it? everyone's like, oh, you had a chance to win. Oh, I need someone to blame because that's what we do in 2022. It's borderline getting nauseating, Will.
Real quick, you guys keep talking about leadership, right? How about Kawhi Leonard? Is he a rah-rah guy on the bench, or does he just get on the court and handle his business? Give this kid some time. He's got the NBA Finals in his pocket now. Hopefully he's learned and figures out what he needs to do for his body and his mind to get over the next hurdle. Give him some time.
Couldn't agree more, Will. Thank you so much for the call. And to the Kawhi point, I just want to mention two quick things. Number one, the first thing that I thought of after Tatum lost was maybe this will be Kawhi losing in 2013. Game 6, that Ray Allen shot. Oh, Popovich, why didn't you have Duncan in the game? Maybe this can be his revenge tour, if you will, for next year. He can learn from it and come back. That's a great comp as far as the kind of player that Jason Tatum is. Kawhi doesn't scream and yell. He just laughs awkwardly, but is an assassin on the floor. That would be a perfect comp for him. Coming back in 2014. But I heard Bill Simmons on his podcast say that in a lot of ways, the Golden State Warriors seemed like the 2014 Spurs to me this year. That one didn't align with me. Can you see any of that comp, Andy?
The Golden State Warriors and the Celtics?
No, the Golden State Warriors as a new version of the 2014 Spurs. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, no, not really. I mean, the Warriors are interesting because they sucked for 2 years out of injuries. Like, they lost more games than anybody over that 2 year span, right? I think that was
they came back to win the finals, and now they look better than ever.
Right, and because they sucked, they have Weissman, you know, sort of developing. They have some questions. Wiggins' contract is up after next year, and
they got Kuminga on the bench, and that kid might be a real force of nature.
But they also may be able to transition. I know financially they are way over the cap in terms of luxury and all that crap. But they're an interesting team. But as long as Curry can still play, and I know we talked about it last week that there was some comparisons between the Patriots and the Warriors and Brady and Curry and like these aging legends that you kind of want to hate, but you don't really hate. You kind of marvel at how great they are. As long as Curry keeps doing what he's doing, the Warriors are going to be really good.
It's a hard, hard, hard time. You have a hard time remembering the good when you finish so miserably. The Patriots made their strides this season. They turned it around after a miserable 2020. Cam Newton, post-Tom Brady, Mac Jones, the free agents, some of the rookies that they drafted. They did a great job. They were crap in December, and they got their doors blown off in January by Buffalo, so everyone looks back at the season like, eh. Really wasn't anything. I can't even remember when it was good because it just finished so miserably. And now the recency bias has kicked in for Celtics fans as well. Like, oh, they were garbage the last 2.5 games. Yeah, but what they did was became interesting and relevant, and they gave you something else to watch, and they were fun for 5 months, and they started the playoffs on Easter, and they gave you relevant competitive playoff basketball with a chance to bring another championship to town for almost 2 friggin' months. And all everyone wants to do is, I'm unhappy. Trade the best player we have in town, who Danny Ainge fleeced the 76ers for in the draft, because I don't like the way that he went about his business, and he stunk in the finals. Ugh, God, I hope more people get angry and call in, because now I just want to listen to this all day because it's stupid. Speaking of people that are not stupid, who have reasonable takes and follow the Celtics, my guy John Corrales joins us in just a couple minutes from Boston Sports Journal. We'll talk to him about what the Celtics did, what they might need next, and what this season and the turnaround meant for the franchise. 617-779-7937. If you would like to get in the queue for some two-way sports talk action with your pals, Fitzy and Hart, coming to you from the Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.